following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Daily Gazette Company presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Kesey, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, where it's our weekly appearance with Josh Algy, the Union Men's Head Hockey Coach. Josh, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. It's starting to feel like fall out there now.
Yeah, it's sweatshirt weather for sure.
Yeah. So the Garter Chargers were in Massachusetts to play two games last weekend, one against Stonehill and the other against third-ranked Boston University. Let's start with the Friday matchup against Stonehill. But before the game, the team had some interesting travel issues leaving the hotel you were staying at in Boston as you were heading to Bridgewater Arena. What happened and how frustrating was it?
Yeah, so basically after our team meal, we get in the bus and, you know, expecting it to be about it. Well, so we went up the day of the game. So we stopped in Springfield to eat. And then from there, expecting it to be, with traffic and everything, a couple, maybe 2.5 hours max, and ended up, leaving the hotel or the meal at 1:50 and getting there at about 5:45. So a little bit longer than what we were expecting.
As Massachusetts traffic is not the most fun to drive through.
Yeah, typically we'd go up the day before, and that's kind of what we do for conference play. But this was a unique situation, and we won't be doing that anymore.
Yeah. Well, how did that affect preparation for the game? Were things rushed getting ready to play?
Yeah, no question. I mean, it was just get your warm-up stuff on, get a quick warm-up in, and then let's, get ready with our gear. And, some of the meetings we typically would have, we didn't have. And, no excuses. You got to be ready to go.
Yeah. Well, you guys took a 1-0 lead on an early first period goal by Josh Nixon. But Stonehill, I felt and watched the game on my computer. Outplayed Union in the second period. It scored twice to take a 2-1 lead. The second goal was a backbreaker, a shorthanded tally by Henri Scheifele, a former RPI player. I can't imagine you were very happy with the effort in the period. What was the message to the team between periods?
Yeah, I just thought we had gotten a little bit, away from our identity and our, what makes us really good, and that's working hard and being selfless. And I think guys were trying to make, fancy plays when, they didn't really need to, just get pucks and bodies to the net. And they were challenged, and they really responded.
Yeah, it seemed like the message was received because the Garter Chargers dominated the period. Union outshot Stonehill 24-6 and scored three times to pull out the 4-2 victory. I mean, pleased were you with that, the effort in the third period?
Yeah, I thought it was an unbelievable effort. I thought, as everybody going and, getting pucks and, bodies to the net, we had guys, right on top of their goaltender, and, they weren't the most pretty goals, but they, that's we talk about all the time, is just, finding a way to get it to cross the line.
Yeah, Carter Corpy started scoring a 1:54 into the third. How important was getting that goal early in the period to grab the momentum?
Yeah, I think that, it definitely takes a little bit of the, the pressure off when you get it even and, you're kind of carrying the play. So it was a frustrating game. I mean, the net was coming off. I mean, it felt like every 3 minutes, and it was just, it was a unique situation.
You should be used to that at Union.
this was much worse. So,
of course, you don't have to worry about that anymore at Union next year. So,
yeah, I mean, anytime anybody's not appreciative for ice or anything, like it was, we're lucky to have what we have.
Well, before I get more into this period there, Bridgewater Arena, that's how, without being critical, how much of a, it looked like a rink. It was sort of like a Schenectady recreation facility. How tough was it to play there?
I mean, our guys grow up playing on rinks like that. You're definitely right. It is a it is a community arena, and it's for a program like Stonehill, they're making the best of what they have, and we're all about growing the game to give them the opportunity. And it sounds like they have a new arena on their horizon, hopefully in the next little bit. But it's definitely not what we're used to.
Yeah. Well, Jacob Jeanette, who was a healthy scratch in the season opener against Army West Point, scored the game winner with 8:28 left in the period. It started with a nice pass by Colby MacArthur from the right corner to Jeanette, who was skating to the net, and he tapped it in for his first career goal. I mean, how happy were you that he collected his first goal, especially since it was the game winner?
Yeah, a great way to get it, and one of those, you always want it to be, it's always memorable, but when it can be a game winner, that's extra special.
How upset was Jacob that he didn't play in the opener? Was there a message being sent?
Yeah, I'm sure he was, you know, upset. It's probably the toughest part of what we have to do, you know, every week is setting the lineup. And, you know, we weren't pleased with his performance against, you know, Providence, and you know, wanted to send him a message early in the season. He's been a guy that's been a staple in our lineup and is really important, and he responded in a big way. And you know, that's all you can ask for as a coach, is to be like, hey, here you go, and kind of, you know, put it back in your court. And that's exactly what he did.
John Prokop sealed the deal late in the period with a shot from the left point and made it 4-2. Then it was time to get ready for number 3 Boston University, and early on in that game the Garner Chargers were playing well and carrying the play. What did you see during that stretch?
I thought we were supporting really well. We were moving pucks quickly. Everybody's just kind of bought into the way we have to play to be successful. And I mean, that's some of the best hockey we've had, and in my short time here. And it was exciting to see. I think it was, you know, at one point we were out shooting them 10-1 or 10-2, and we were really pleased with that.
Yeah, but then the Terriers show why they are the third-ranked team in the country. Shane LaChance scores at 8:39 in the first. Less than 2 minutes later, Alex Zetterberg scores a power play goal. And then late in the period, BU gets another power play goal, this time from Cole Eiserman. You're down 3-0 after one. I mean, how disappointing was that, considering how well you played early on and had nothing to show for it?
Yeah, it was tough. And, I mean, the guys can... You know, we can say, hey, trust the process and just, you know, focus on your next shift. But when you thoroughly dominate a team for, you know, basically 10 minutes, and then at the end of the period you look up and it's 3-0, it's tough. And it's a learning curve for us that it doesn't matter if you dominate, you know, for 10 minutes. You got to keep going and control what you can control. And that's the big message, is you can't feel sorry for yourself just because you should have scored. You didn't, so you just got to keep working.
Yeah. Well, Parker Lindauer, who's a transfer from Maine, got Union on the board with 7-11 left in the second period when his shot from behind the goal line found its way into the net. Is that the definition of if you shoot the puck, good things will happen?
No question. I mean, Parker's been a great addition for us, and glad he could get that one for us, and he'll give us a chance to get rolling.
Yeah, but unfortunately, again, for Union, Jack Harvey regained the 3-goal lead late in the period for BU. Neither team scores in the third period, and BU goes away with a 4-1 win. I mean, how would you assess that game? And Union had 37 shots on goal, so you were getting chances against BU, so it's not like you were being run out of the building. You hung with them. After that first period, it was 1-1.
Yeah, and I mean, it's frustrating when you feel like you have the better of a team in a period, and you come away 3-0 down. And I think, you know, it showed us that we can play with anyone, and we're not far away. We have to convert on some chances. We have to tighten some things up. But overall, it was a good measuring stick game for us, and that's why we wanted to play him, and we wanted to play him early, is to see where we stack up with a team that's going to be, you know, probably in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I thought goalie Kyle Chevette played well in the game. Made 40 saves. I mean, he had some tough saves to make.
Yeah, he was outstanding in the second and third, especially. He made some big time saves for us.
Well, let's take a break. We'll have another Mesa Rink memory, and we'll preview Union's 2-game series against Mercer's this weekend at Mesa Rink. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC hockey, there's no experience like it.
Stay informed with the Daily Gazette's e-edition. Download our app, sign up to receive our newsletters, and enjoy exclusive reader rewards when you join our growing community today. Head over to www.dailygazette.com to check out our membership plans. And remember, when credibility matters, trust the Daily Gazette. Hey, pro football fans, it's time again to match wits with other pro football fans and win a prize by playing the Daily Gazette's You Pick'em Football Contest. To play, go to dailygazetteprofootball.upickem.net and make your picks before the first game kicks off each week. If you have the most weekly points, you win a $100 Hannaford gift card. Play the Daily Gazette's You Pick a Football contest today.
Hi, this is Union College hockey alum Adam Przyznik. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott.
Max Novak, who played for Union College from 2011 to 2015, on his most memorable Mesa Rink moment.
Most memorable moment with Steph. We had some big games there. I'd say almost any RPI game, just because the fans were that much more into it, and you know, that little building can get loud, and those games are always special.
Welcome back to the podcast. We're here with Union men's head hockey coach Josh Housley. He was the talk Union hockey. And it's early in the season, and it's probably not a reason to panic, Josh, but Union's power play is still looking for its first goal of the season. The Garter Chargers are 0-15 so far. There have been some inconsistency with generating shots on goal. Union did not have any shots on goal in the three opportunities they had against Army West Point. Against Stonehill, Union was 0-9, but did have 13 shots on goal. However, Stonehill did score a shorthanded goal. And against BU, Union was 0-5 and had two shots on goal, which came on the final power play. Meanwhile, BU had four shorthanded shots on goal in the game. What do the players need to do to break out of this slump?
Well, I think it's, you know, one, just getting pucks and bodies to the net. I mean, it's something we've been talking about a lot here already today. But, you know, if you want to score, you got to get to the paint. You got to find a way. And, you know, at times power plays have a tendency to, you know, hey, be a little perimeter and say, hey, we're going to pass around, look for that perfect shot. And, you know, it just comes down to working hard and getting to that hard area. And, you know, today we had just a quick meeting about outworking the penalty kill. And that's going to be our focal point, is just outworking them and getting traffic and bodies there.
How concerned are you? I mean, is it just too early to panic at this point?
Oh, not at all. I mean, at the end of the day, the power play's job is to create momentum for our team. And, you know, it's nice for them to score, and there's going to be some critical times when we need them to. But early in the season, it's about, you know, executing your power play, having a mindset that you're going to outwork your opposition and doing things the right way. So I'm more concerned with the fact that they haven't outworked the penalty kill every time.
Well, let's talk about your opponent this weekend, Mercy Arts. It's the fourth and fifth meeting all time between the two teams. It's the Lakers' first visit to Mesa since October 29th, 2004, a 3-2 Union victory. What do you know about Mercy Arts?
They play with a ton of pace, and they look to transition and go. You know, they have really good team speed. They always have good goaltending. You know, they defend in numbers. They try to swarm you and take away your time and space. And you know, they had a good weekend last weekend with you know, two good games against RIT.
Yeah, Rick Gockin is their head coach. He was once an assistant coach at RPI. He's in his 37th season as the head coach at Mercyhurst. He's one of the nicest guys in college hockey, and a funny one too. I mean, have you talked to him? What do you think of Rick?
He's great, and you're dead on. He's hilarious, and you know, he was a little concerned. They had some hotel issues where they were told they were going to stay in a place, and then contract didn't hold up or something. And then, you know, so he was panicking, and, you know, luckily they were able to get that sorted out, but it was good to catch up with him.
Yeah. I talked with Rick on Tuesday night. We'll have that conversation with him on the Thursday podcast. Besides trying to come away with two wins this weekend, what do you want to see the team accomplish?
Well, I think it's just, you know, establishing our identity and, you know, continuing to be physical and play with pace. And, you know, there's some areas that we need to clean up. You mentioned power play and, you know, penalty kill is an area both where we can tighten things up.
You expect any major lineup changes this weekend? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, we're still trying to get, you know, some different guys in and, you know, give guys opportunity. And, you know, how hard everybody works throughout the week is kind of how we, you know, measure that. And, you know, some guys that want to get in need to take a step in certain areas. And the guys that are in want to keep their job. So It's a little bit all over right now.
I know it's a lot of league. Yeah, I probably asked you this question every year about, you know, Kyle, obviously he's played all the games so far. Is this one of these weekends where you may give either Joe Sherrib or Lucas Massey a shot and goal?
Well, I think, you know, Kyle's looking for himself to, you know, establish himself as a, you know, a top tier goalie. And you got, you know, those two that are really trying to push and, you know, take take some ice from Kyle. So, we'd like to get those guys in and give them an opportunity. And, you know, we also, you know, need Kyle to continue to develop and continue to, you know, take the reins. You know,
these games start an 8-game stretch for Union where all of the games will be played in the Capital Region. The only road game will be next Friday against RPI in the ECAC hockey opener. Of course, the rematch with the Engineers will be next Saturday. The team is off November 1st and 2nd, and the following weekend it'll be a 2-game series against Alaska Fairbanks. And the weekend after that, St. Lawrence and Clarkson come to Mesa. I mean, how good is it to have a schedule like that?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, especially this early in the year to have a good stretch where you don't have to travel. You know, we can get our feet underneath us. The guys can finish up academically strong, and we can continue to build and push as a team.
Yeah, you don't even leave New York State until December when you go to Quinnipiac and Princeton.
Yeah, so it is a good stretch, and it's an exciting time when you get a lot of games, especially in the area.
Well, the games you played at Stonehill and the BU, you guys wore the white home jerseys. But the way things are going right now, you may not wear the Garner jerseys until your next road trip that Niagara, because the RPI game next week is a blackout game, so you probably wear the whites unless you decide to wear the Garnets at home. First of all, what happened with the jersey situation? That was kind of weird.
Yeah, so we were, you know, putting the jerseys out, and where one of them was at, there was a hanger but no jersey, so we're not 100% sure what happened, and so we were missing it. So we reached out to BU and Stonehill and asked if we could wear our whites, and they were gracious enough to let us.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Josh, we received some bad news regarding longtime Union play-by-play announcer Matt Dubray last Friday. He was diagnosed with acute lymphatic leukemia. Matt is undergoing chemotherapy right now. I visited him on Monday. He seemed to be in good spirit. I mean, how stunning was that news when you found out?
Yeah, it's really tough, and you know you think about him and his family and just kind of everything they're going through, and you know just how much we take, you know, for granted some things, and wishing him and his family the best. And we're actually, some of our staff members, we're going to go over tomorrow morning, so excited to get over there and see him tomorrow.
Yeah. What has Matt meant to you?
You know, when you look at your time and people that come in and just open, you know, welcome you with open arms, that's what he's done. He's been, you know, nothing but gracious to us and treated me so well. And, he's not only just, you know, called our game, but is also a friend. So it's tough.
Yeah. Well, I spoke with Matt's former broadcast partner, Brian Unger, over the weekend. He shared his thoughts on Matt. Brian, what has Matt meant to you?
That's hard to sum up quickly, but I've known Matt since I got back on the air in 2004. And, he's just an incredible guy, extraordinary human being, and it goes a lot further than all the experiences we had with the team through the highs and lows. We become very good friends, and life throws curveballs, and when the curveball comes, Matt's always the first guy there. That's what I think just makes him an extraordinary guy. And if you get to know him, you're a very lucky person.
I'm going to, you know, write about the, you know, times when we traveled together, and when I was traveling, and we always would think, Matt, we always wonder if he's going to be on time or going to be late.
Yeah, that's, you know, I've thought a lot about that, and that's, everybody's got their quirks, right? Nobody's perfect. And, I know at one point in time, the school started giving us the wrong itinerary. And, we were told whenever the bus was leaving, we were told it was leaving 10 minutes earlier to make sure Matt and I showed up and got there when the boys were ready to roll. So you could have worse problems in life. But yeah, that was certainly an issue.
What did it mean to him to, you know, he was there for, and you were there too, obviously, as a student when things were not great for the program. But for him to, you know, for you guys to call that national championship game, you know, 10 years ago, what did that mean to you? What did that mean to Matt?
I think there's certain things in life that you categorize as highlights. And there's obvious ones, the birth of your children, getting married, things of that nature. And then there's a separate category that you'll always cherish and remember and winning the national championship, especially with Union, because a couple years prior, you would think that was a, you know, they would check you for your mental stability if you said Union was a national contender, is one of the greatest things that's ever happened. I mean, how fortunate were we to be associated with the program? And it's so rare in the world of sports that a team can go to the mountaintop and win it all. That's you know, that's the top five, top 10 thing of all times. And I have no doubt that Matt thinks the same way.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Yeah. You know, just everybody think positive. And
during Tuesday's media availability, I asked John Prokop, Josh Nixon, and Brandon Burr for their thoughts on Matt.
You never wish that upon someone. It's always, you know, tough to see that. And, you know, our whole team heard the news, and we're all, you know, praying for him and hoping he heals, you know, fast.
Josh? Yeah, there's really not much to say. I feel real bad for him and his family right now. And hopefully our prayers and everybody else's prayers around are strong enough to help him get better here.
Brandon? Yeah, it's obviously terrible news, but our whole team, our thoughts and prayers behind him. We believe he'll make a full recovery.
We'd like to take questions from our listeners. You can email your questions to Schott, that's S-C-H-O-T-T, at dailygazette.com, or post them on Facebook and X. Well, here's a question from Brian Wood. He's interested to know if the name, image, and likeness is affecting recruiting in college hockey like it does in college basketball and football.
I don't think it does to the level that it is in football and basketball. It's definitely a part of it right now. We currently, it's extremely limited for us. I think somebody might be, getting, maybe a free movie or something, just minimal things. So most of our guys don't get much. We're always open to, our guys getting opportunities to, use their name, image, and likeness. So if anybody has anything, we're definitely willing for them to get some opportunities. But yeah, right now it's, some schools do have some opportunities, but we're on a smaller scale. Yeah.
Well, Brian, thanks for the question. And Josh, thanks for doing this again. Next week, we're going to be talking Union against RPI.
Perfect.
Yeah. Of course, Union facing Mercer this weekend, Friday at 7 o'clock. Saturday is a 5 o'clock start, not the normal 4 o'clock start, because the football team is playing at home against Buffalo State. You learned your lesson last year from that, right?
No question, yeah.
So, all right, that's Josh Housley. Appreciate him doing this once again. Well, coming up on Thursday's podcast, I'll have interviews from Tuesday's Union Hockey media availability. On the men's side, it will be John Prokop, Josh Nixon, and Brandon Bear. For the women, it's head coach Tony Macy and players Byron Friday and Sophie Matsuka. Plus, my Gazette colleague Adam Schindler will join me to talk Union and New Albany football. And Mercyhurst men's hockey coach Rick Gotkin will join me to talk about his team and this weekend's games against Union. So please tune in. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Daily Gazette Company. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Daily Gazette Company. I'm Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day. Good hockey.